Good afternoon. I'd like to welcome you, those of you who are here this morning, to welcome you back in for the afternoon session. For those of you who are here the first time, again, extend my welcome to this dialogue session on a very important issue to all of us. Before we get started, I would like to introduce members of the Board of Trustees who are here. David Cocaine. David, would you raise your hand? Dr. Kenneth Schmidt, Trustee Melissa Neely, Trustee Judith Reese. On my left, Trustee Arun Reddy, Trustee Martha O'Malley, and Trustee Roger Plummer. And my name is Bill Engelbrecht. I currently serve as the board chair. I now would like to turn it over to Judge Louis Garippo, who will conduct the proceedings. Judge Garippo.
We'll start with the microphone on my right, and John Menes. If I pronounce your name, okay.
My name is John Menes. My qualifications for being here, among others, I've been an active alum of this university for 47 years. I'm a past president of the Illini Club of Chicago, and I would also say that we recently passed a resolution supporting the chief, and that will, if you haven't received it yet, you will be receiving it. We have over 100,000 members in the Chicago area. I'm also a past president of the Dads Association, currently a director of the Mechanical Engineering Alumni Group. And I would like to start by telling you all that my European ancestors came to North America before the United States was a country. Almost 300 years ago. My Native American ancestors from the Powhatan tribe were here hundreds, if not thousands, of years before that. And I am proud of both of these ancestral groups. Illini WEC, as I haven't been here for all these talks, so this may have been discussed before, but as my grandmother used to tell me when she repeated a story, it won't hurt you to hear it again. Illini WEC was the name of a loose confederation of Algonquin tribes. Early French explorers changed the spelling of the word at the end to O-I-S, or else this would be the state of Illini WEC, and this would be the University of Illini WEC. With that bit of history, regardless of what else has been said here today, the chief is not only a symbol of this university, but he's also a symbol of our state. The chief is a symbol by which, by definition, is something that represents something else by association. Like our flag is a symbol of our country, and the lion is a symbol of courage. The chief is also a tradition, which is defined as the passing down elements of a culture from generation to generation, a time-honored practice. Like the world celebrates Christ's birthday as a tradition, or like we all welcomed in the new year and the new millennium 3.5 months ago. And like we celebrate the 4th of July in this country as the birth of our nation. The chief is not a caricature, as he has been characterized, but a very dignified and respectful portrayal of the American Indian. The current regalia was presented by Chief Frank Foolscrow, a Sioux elder, during halftime at the Illinois Pitt game on September 25th, 1982, and was the chief's own personal regalia. And he was honored and proud that so many people would get to see it. In closing, I think I can best sum up by quoting a 1994 letter to the Chicago Tribune by Mr. S. Neil Berger, chairman of the Ethnic Minority Council of America, wherein he said, "Chief Illiniwek is a benefit to our multiracial and diverse society and a strong reminder of our history and should continue as a positive symbol of the Native American heritage that every Illinois citizen shares." We have 10 mascots in the Big Ten, and we have one symbol. He's 74 years old. Let's keep the chief.
Belden Fields.
I address you as an alumnus of the University of Illinois, BA 1960, who went on to take a PhD in political science at Yale University, and then to return to this university in 1965 to teach political science. I will thus be going, I am in my 34th year here. My affiliation with this university crosses five decades. For the most part, I can take much pride in this institution, in which I have spent so many years as a student and as a professor. But there is an area that I find shameful. When I was an undergraduate here, there was no critical reflection on the chief. Whether it was an accurate portrayal of the Illini Indians or whether it would be offensive to Indians was just not an issue at that point in time. Some of us on this campus were still trying to get barbers in campus town to cut the hair of African-American people. African-American people were in our midst, too few as students, but many in the community. We were just waking up to that. While we have very few Native Americans on our campus, most of those who have come as students, and others they have called in from outside the university over this issue, have told us that this portrayal of a sacred dance is inaccurate, and that even if it had been accurate, it would be offensive to trivialize it in a sporting event. After all, how would Jewish people react if we had a rabbi davening across the athletic field or a Christian cleric performing feats with a cross? I think you would agree that this would be harmful mentally, if not physically, to Jews and Christians. Why would it be any different with the sacred rights of Native Americans? Indeed, it is even more serious with Native Americans in this country. This is because physical genocide has been perpetrated on them. I say physical, quote-unquote, because the 1951 UN Convention on Prevention and Punishment of the Crime of Genocide includes, quote, causing serious bodily or mental harm to members of the group, unquote. Article 2B, I'm going to leave with you copies of the Convention on Genocide as well as my statement. The use of an ethnic or religious symbol for fun at a sporting event is always offensive. But it is doubly wrong and in violation of the UN Convention when that mental harm is perpetrated against a group that has also suffered close to physical annihilation. Moreover, the NCA is quite right that this is an educational issue, the denial of some or all of you on the board notwithstanding. I teach and write in the area of human rights. I'm on the editorial board review of the major human rights journal in this country, the Human Rights Quarterly, and I'm an organizer of one of the two panels on human rights at the year 2000 World Congress of the International Political Science Association meetings to be held this August in Quebec. How in the world am I supposed to explain to other human rights scholars, and even more importantly, to students here, that their own university, which makes claims to a universalistic vocation of learning, engages in an act which under the UN Convention is involved in, quote, complicity in genocide, unquote, Article 3E, and refuses to learn and to change when that complicity is called to its attention? I am asking you to recognize that universalistic respect for other people ought to be the hallmark of any educational institution, and to put an end to the shameful violation of human rights and compromise of its educational mission by the university which calls itself the flagship institution of higher education of this state. To whom should I direct these documents?
If you'll just leave them on the on the Roger Trimble.
Your Honor, can you hear me? Your Honor, members of the Board of Trustees, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Ralph Trimble. I'm a clinical psychologist and I work with our students as a clinical counselor. I'm here to speak in favor of retiring Chief Illini Wick. My sentiments on this has been influenced strongly by my work with many students over the years, since 1973. My basic mission at the university is to help students develop their abilities to contribute to society and to lead fulfilling lives. I believe that the Board of Trustees subscribes to that same basic mission. Over the years, the Board has made many efforts to make our campus more hospitable and more learning conducive for everybody, including people of color. Unfortunately, these laudable efforts have been consistently undermined by our continuing use of Chief Illini Wick as a mascot for our athletic teams. Those who support the Chief refer to him as a positive symbol, not as a mascot. Unfortunately, whatever he is called, for many Native Americans and for many other people of color, the Chief symbolizes a white endorsement of continuing racial oppression and cultural disregard. Many within the Native American community have made it clear that for them, the Chief represents a strong message of disrespect. The disrespect for one non-dominant group carries powerful implications of disrespect for other non-dominant groups. I've been told that not all Native Americans are of one voice, nor all African Americans, nor all Latinos, nor all Asian Americans. But I've observed that many students of color in each of these groups have felt the negative impact of the Chief. Recently, with the evaluation of the North Central Association, the relevance of that impact on the educational process, the university's basic mission, has received special emphasis. I truly believe that this development has come as a surprise to the Board of Trustees. That seems reasonable in light of the nature of input people at the board level are likely to get on a day-to-day basis. Most notably, when in non-confrontational settings, students give input to high officials, especially as it relates to educational difficulties, rarely can that input be free of the context of rank-imposed power differentials. My situation is a more humble one, and I'm sure I've gotten a different perspective from the students. Students of color have told me how the Chief's performance and his logo on all kinds of things all over campus add to an inhibiting environment for them. In the classroom, if you're a student of color, perhaps feeling like the only different one in what seems like a sea of white faces, it can be hard to raise your hand and to ask a question or risk exploring a unique viewpoint. After all, someone may consider you and others of your race as stupid. Similarly, it can be hard to approach a professor after class to seek clarity or guidance on a paper or an exam. Of course, these things can be hard for white students too, but at least in their cases, they more often come into the situation feeling like they belong here. Through sheer differences in numbers, as well as through well-known stereotypes and mythologies, many students of color hear a message that they don't belong here. And when they see the Chief's dance at halftime or the Chief's logo on someone's sweatshirt, the message that they don't belong here gets reinforced. No entity of our university, even our athletic mascot, or symbol if you will, should be giving any of our students that intimidating, growth-inhibiting message. I close hoping this dialogue process will lead to richer perspectives on the Chief, and that ultimately the board will conclude that its overall mission is best served by retiring the Chief. Thank you very much.
Roger Sims.
Good afternoon. My name is Roger Sims. I live out at Sydney. I should have left the car there and walked in from where I parked. I thank you for the opportunity to speak in behalf of the chief. Both my wife and myself and three of our four children attended here. And I might say that we paid our own way. I'm a 1951 graduate. We are strong supporters of Chief Illini Wick, and at the same time, we have great respect for the Native American tradition. When our older daughter was a pom-pom girl here, I was fortunate enough to be in the first group of dads to perform with our daughter at halftime on the football field. Let me tell you that back then, in those days, the chief and the band were about the only things there were to cheer for. The feeling of pride and respect that I feel continues today when the chief appears. My wife and I are close friends with Victor Kuchwaitawa, family of Shungapavi, Second Mesa, Arizona. Victor is Hopi. He's a top silversmith and was named and inducted as a living treasure in Arizona in 1995. We were fortunate enough to be asked to attend to that. He is a Purple Heart World War II vet and was with Morel's Marauders in Burma. We have attended dances, his Medicine Bear powwow, and were privileged to be the only whites in attendance at the Bean Dance one February morning when the Kachinas come up out of the kivas. We also were invited to the powwow after Desert Storm. What truly great, loyal Americans. I guess they should be. They were here first. Victor's son, Ben, is in charge of the White Mountain Apache Reservation and was offered the top job in Washington, D.C. with the Bureau of Indian Affairs. Our home is full of Native American art, from Victor's jewelry to original paintings by Robert Redbird, Kiowa, Rance Hood, Comanche, Paladine Roy, Ponca, sculptures by Cheyenne Arapaho, Charlie Pratt, Bobby Creeping Bear, and many others. One of our latest prized possessions is a prayer feather that Victor made special when my wife had surgery a year ago. I have sent seed to Victor for 20 years, and just this week, we mailed two kinds of sweet corn and six varieties of beans for him to plant. We were honored and thrilled to have Victor and his sons Ben and Ricky in our home in November 1998 as they came to speak to the Pro Chief group. They also attended a football game, the Indiana game. We won that one. One time when we were in the restaurant at the Hopi Culture Center, I was wearing an orange U of I shirt with a chief logo on it. Someone in all seriousness asked, "What tribe is that you're from?" Someone yelled across the room, "That's Chief Illini, you dummy." As one of the veterans of the South Pacific and World War II, we made it possible for people to express their opinions and beliefs. Now, I don't understand all the Kachinas, the Kivas, and some of the Native Americans' beliefs. However, I respect their beliefs and traditions. All I ask is the same understanding and respect for our tradition, the honored chief. Thank you.
Linda Duke. Linda Duke.
I'm Linda Duke. I'm a longtime staff member at Crown Art Museum, and I also hold two degrees from this university. I'd like to begin by reading just a couple of short selections out of a book by Theodora Kroeber called Ishi in Two Worlds. It's her account of the fate of a California Native American who actually finished his life living at a museum in San Francisco. She begins the book by talking about the systematic annihilation of Native peoples in California in the years right after the California Gold Rush and after the Civil War. This passage is from a chapter called Episodes in Extermination. In 1853 occurred one of the first of the mass murders of the Yahi, this one under Prentz's leadership. It was triggered by the stealing of one or several cows. Prentz and his men gave chase, and before they were through, 25 or more Indians were dead, some shot, some hanged. A second party led by Pence later the same year went out in response to alleged raids along the North Fork of the Feather River. They netted 50 or 60 scalps this trip. by 1859, the white settlers were not relying on reservations or military assistance. From their own number, they collected $3,000 as a beginning fund to be used to fight the Mill Creeks. These accounts go on, and I don't want to use all my time reading them. Some of them are first person. Some of them, all of them, are entered into official state records. In other words, these records of Indian massacres were turned in to the military and to the civil government as official public records. As an example of one of the final descriptions, I'll skip that one. Let me just finish by saying, once a dominant society employing its legitimate government attempts to exterminate a minority people and its culture, nothing is ever the same again. The wounds caused by acts this horrible on a scale this huge last for generations. It is the work of millions of descendants of both exterminators and survivors to move towards healing themselves and each other. One of the things that will never be okay is for the descendants of the exterminators to appropriate, flaunt, and use the image of the victimized people. If a public university in Germany were to adopt a respectful image of a traditional Jew, the situation would be similar to the one we discussed today. No amount of protestation that the revered symbol's prayer shawl was made by real Jewish weavers, or that a rabbi taught the performer how to wear his front locks, would make such a mascot appropriate. The horrible fact that the German state methodically worked to exterminate the Jewish people renders this scenario outrageous for all time. As a mother, a teacher, a community member, a U of I staff member, and an alum, as a human being, I demand that you immediately discontinue the use of Chief Illini. And I ask that you take every opportunity to explain why you have discontinued the chief. What happened when Euro-American culture met Native American culture must never happen again. That means that we collectively must never forget. This is a teaching opportunity of great magnitude. I demand that the University of Illinois rise to this task and teach peace, compassion, humility, and the value of diversity. It is the best hope for the human race. Thank you.
Brenda Fernell.
I am a faculty member in anthropology and a specialist in American Indian Studies. Whilst I fully understand the good intentions and nostalgia of those committed to retaining the chief, as educators we must take into account the unintended consequences of this commitment. I therefore wish to document here some of the ways in which the chief seriously compromises my own research and teaching and actively prevents the development of American Indian Studies on this campus. Since accepting the position at UIUC 4 years ago, my scholarly reputation among Native communities has been severely compromised. My professional ethics have been repeatedly questioned, and my future research plans are placed in jeopardy. When I travel out west to do research nowadays, I am wary of driving around with Illinois license plates, since on more than one occasion I have been asked if I come from, quote, that university with the racist mascot, unquote. When I took a group of freshmen to the annual powwow at the University of Iowa last year as part of their discovery class, they were confronted with similar questions and reported how confused and deeply ashamed they felt of their school and its so-called honored tradition. In the classroom, I find that the dancing mascot miseducates by creating and supporting oversimplified and inaccurate views of indigenous peoples and by confining them to a romanticized past. As such, it contributes to the development of cultural biases and prejudices rather than educating against them. Unintended consequences indeed. This is why this is an important educational issue, and why several national academic associations and the NCA all voice strong opposition to this practice. If the board doesn't understand this, then they have the solemn responsibility to set aside personal feelings and nostalgia and defer to the expertise of those who are educators. Nothing less than the future national and international reputation of this institution are now at stake. The presence of the chief makes it difficult, if not impossible, for us to recruit Native American students, because rightly or wrongly, this campus is perceived as racist and hostile to Native peoples. All the talk about honoring Indians rings hollow when we have never offered even basic academic and cultural support services for Native students. The development of an American Indian Studies program is compromised because the Native American faculty, upon whom the success and viability of such program would depend, will not come to this campus. Since it appears that both sides of this debate are interested in such developments, I suggest that a viable middle ground could be found if the older contested symbols, the dancing Indian and the logo, were replaced with an Illini American Indian Studies program, whose charter would include the hosting of an annual Illini Festival of Native American Music, Dance, and Other Performing Arts in honor of the Illini peoples past and present. This issue is about diversity, whether this institution unintentionally educates the young people of the state in ways that perpetuate ignorance and intolerance for cultural differences, or equips them to participate fully in a multi-ethnic nation and global workplace of the future. Times and moral sensibilities have changed radically since Illini WIC was invented, and history teaches us that American traditions work best when they change with the times. Thank you.
J. Michael Byrne.
Paul, members of the Board of Trustees. I'm a lifelong resident of Champaign-Urbana, graduate of the University of Illinois in law in 1949. I have two brothers and three sisters, all six of us graduated from the University of Illinois. I've watched Chief Illini WIC perform since 1934 when I was 8 or 9 years old at the Red Grange homecoming. I can still remember that. But more importantly, I've observed Chief Illini WIC each year, several times each year, because I attend all the football and basketball games since 1946 when I was in school. And I've lived here ever since. I take pride in the University of Illinois as one of the 10 greatest universities in our country. It is an institution of learning across the broad spectrum of agriculture to veterinary medicine. Its students, its athletics, its alumni, who marshaled support for a $1 billion campaign just a few years ago in support of the university. I do support the chief, because the chief is a part of the pride that I have in the university. He's a symbol of that pride. He's not a Hawkeye. He's not a Buckeye, he's not a Wildcat, he's not a Badger. They are mascots. The chief is a symbol of the pride of the people of Illinois in our Native American heritage. The concept of Chief Illini WIC comes from Native American heritage when the Illini were part of a confederation of Indian tribes, whose name was incorporated in the name of our state of Illinois. The chief is authentic in his presentation. As you've heard before, he wears regalia that is taken from Indian lore. He studies to learn the Indian dance and is in an honored position on the campus. I was present when the present regalia was presented to the university in 1982. It's interesting to note that perhaps the chief has performed over 21 million people in the last 50 years, if you count the football games and the basketball games. Presently, in the season of football, in the season of basketball, he will perform before 250,000 people this coming year. I have never, in all of my times that I've attended these functions, heard any moment of disrespect for Chief Illiniwek. It's all been support, until today, perhaps. I would like to suggest that I believe that people who have been talking about retiring the chief are mistaken. I realize they're sincere in their belief, but I believe they are mistaken. It seems to me that we have a situation where perhaps the university curriculum should be expanded. I am not personally acquainted with that, but from the complaints that I've just heard, it could very well be that our American heritage should be a more prominent part of our curriculum here at the University of Illinois. To me, it's an opportunity for all of us, everyone in this room, to get together behind, because the chief has the support, I feel certain, of 90% of the alumni of this university. We could get together behind the chief, not as an entity, but as a symbol of the pride that all of us have in the University of Illinois. The chief is not why we take pride, but he's a representative of it, a symbol of it, in which all of us, university students, faculty, and alumni, unite. Thank you very much.
Jay Rosenstein.
Thank you. My name is Jay Rosenstein. My qualifications for being here are that I'm an alumnus of the University of Illinois. I have a bachelor's degree from 1982. I have a master's degree in 1996. And unlike probably most of the other speakers, I actually have a Chief Illiniwek in my family. My wife's great uncle, William Hugg, was Chief Illiniwek in 1951 and 52. What I want to do right now is not start at the beginning, but start at the end. And let's sort of cut to the chase here. Members of the Board of Trustees, how do you think this is going to end? What do you envision? How do you think this thing is going to be solved? There's a letter to the editor in the local paper just recently. It was very interesting. The writer, a chief supporter, said, "The chief will be an issue until the University of Illinois officials put their foot down and say the chief stays. End of discussion." Well, I was there in 1990 when you did just that. In fact, I have videotape footage of that meeting. Now, I want to ask you in all sincerity, in those 10 years, has this problem gotten better or gotten worse? Earlier today, I heard a speaker talk about Chief Illiniwek and about the unifying spirit of Chief Illiniwek. Does this look like unity to you? In all honesty, a symbol of a university is supposed to bring people together. Chief Illiniwek is the most divisive symbol, I believe, in all American colleges and universities. If you don't believe that, look around you. Is that what you want for a great university like the University of Illinois? It's not what I want for my school. Now, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, you can't please everyone with your symbol, right? People are going to complain no matter what. And that might be true. But I don't know of any college that has a symbol that is so disliked than the University of Illinois. Look at what we're doing here today. They're not doing this at the University of Michigan. They're not doing it at Wisconsin. They're not doing it in Minnesota. Well, they have other problems there. They're not doing that at Indiana. They're not doing it at Northwestern. Only here. Only the University of Illinois has a problem with their symbol. I want to say one more thing. Speakers here today have repeatedly said that Chief Illiniwek honors Native Americans. So where are those people that feel honored? Where are they? How can you feel good about a symbol that hurts and disturbs so many people? That is what I don't understand. I have something very strongly in common with the members of the Board of Trustees. I love the University of Illinois. I have chosen to live here, I have chosen to work here, and it is a great honor for me to have the privilege to teach here. But there is one thing that embarrasses me to no end, and that is Chief Illini Wick. I understand that people love this symbol, but I just don't understand how you can continue to want to hold on to a symbol that is so disliked and is so divisive. Please do something about that. Thank you.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Nina Hamadi. I am an alumna of the University of Illinois and also a lesbian South Asian Indian woman. I feel very, very strongly that the chief must be removed as a mascot and symbol of the University of Illinois. Why? Simply put, Native people are saying it should be so. This alone should be reason enough. But since there is always backlash when oppressed people try to define for themselves what is right, we come to this now, a divisive, racially charged, and painful fight. So I ask again, why should the chief be removed? How dare we as a people standing on soil that is stolen, the University of Illinois is a university that is predominantly white with no Native American Studies department, say that the chief honors Native people? How can anyone say this as we look at the history of rape, forced sterilization, genocide, and a stripping away of basic human rights like self-determination? How can anyone say that this is an honor if Native people themselves are saying that the chief does not honor, that it is wrong? People clinging onto this tradition have benefited so much from this oppression that they are blinded into thinking that they're doing good. It is white privilege, entitlement, and racism that is blinding people. If this is really about respect, isn't respect about listening? Shouldn't we listen to the Native people who are saying that the chief should be gone? What if the University of Illinois mascot was the Pope? What if the Pope was doing an acrobatic halftime dance for entertainment? What if this revered figure was being reduced to being halftime entertainment and turned into a commodity so that this figure could show up on shirts and toilet paper? What if this figure was totally dehumanized? What if people were protesting, saying that this felt degrading, that this felt hurtful and wrong? How hard would we fight to keep the Pope as our mascot then? To me, there are parallels to draw between the respect that we give these figures. Most people have a context to understand that the Pope is not an appropriate mascot. We grow up here with that context because the Pope has power. Because of the invisibility of Native history, most people don't have the context to understand how a white man dancing in Native costume is wrong. I experienced something related, being from a Hindu family. It is somehow okay to appropriate Hindu and Indian symbols and take them on as people's own thing. Things like yoga, mehndi, and the list goes on. I see people wearing pants with Hindu gods and goddesses on their seats. Is this about respect? I see nightlights and lunchboxes with gods on them, not made by Indians and certainly not benefiting us. Is this about respect? This is not respect. This is painful. This does not acknowledge a history of colonialism that ravages India and other nations to this day. I want to end with this. This is not a game. This is not a fight to take up because we don't have enough to do with our lives. This is about real people. This is about real pain and real anger. What do the pro-chief people have to lose if the chief is no longer the mascot of U of I? How will it really change their lives? On the other side, what do Native and other oppressed people have to lose if the chief stays? The struggle for Native people is real and about lives. Let there be a new tradition. Let it really be about respect. And let me close with this. We keep hearing that alumni oppose removing the chief. Well, here I am. I'm an alumni, and I strongly support removing the chief. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Board of Trustees members and Judge Garippo. Thank you for this opportunity to speak on behalf of Chief Illiniwek. My name is Michael Mondelli, and I'm a junior here at the University of Illinois. For the past 2 years, I have served the University of Illinois as the Assistant Chief Illiniwek. If you are unfamiliar with the Assistant Chief, this means that I am responsible for performing as the Chief at the last home football game and women's basketball. Over the past 2 years, I've also been fortunate enough to perform at the Big Ten and NCAA women's basketball tournaments. I have traveled to Indianapolis, Clemson, South Carolina, and Ames, Iowa. At these events, the performance of Chief Illiniwek was well received by the fans in attendance. At Iowa State this past March, I performed to a sellout crowd of 14,000 Cyclone fans. Though there were less than 100 Illini fans there, I walked off the court to a round of applause. At the Big Ten tournament in Indianapolis, also this past March, I had encounters with two Big Ten mascots. The first was the Michigan State Spartan, and second, the Penn State Nittany Lion. Both stood by the court respectively on the sideline while I saluted both their fans and ours as Chief Illiniwek. The student underneath the Nittany Lion costume even told me before the game that he was really excited to see the Chief for the first time because he had heard all about it. As you can see, other mascots in the Big Ten do not view Chief Illiniwek as a normal mascot. It is a symbol. They do not pick fights with us at halftime or engage in any clownish activity with the Chief. While I regard the performance of Chief Illiniwek as dignified and have experienced firsthand the respect and awe shown by both Illini friend and foe, I have a hard time believing that both sides can reach a compromise on this issue. You have a tough task ahead of you because once you reach a decision, one side will remain upset. There are many strong feelings on both sides. Let me leave you with the words of a former chief, Mike Gonzalez, who in 1976 said, "When I visit alumni groups and other organizations, almost always the first question someone asks is, what does it feel like to be the team's mascot? I try to explain to them that I am not a mascot, but rather a symbol of the spirit of the Fighting Illini. My job at halftime is to transmit that type of spirit to the fans. I believe that Chief Illiniwek does transmit the spirit of the Fighting Illini and inspires spirit, pride, and loyalty to this great university in the most exciting 4 minutes in all of college athletics, the incomparable 3-1 and Chief Illiniwek. Thank you."
Cruz.
Citizen Wayne Cruz.
Hello. My name is Guaharetzi. I'm also known as Wayne Crew. I'm Shoshone Bannock from the Fort Hall Reservation in Idaho. I am 12 years old, and I'm in sixth grade at Edison Middle School here in Champaign. I am here to tell you that Chief Illiniwek is painful and dehumanizing to my people. It hurts to see Illinois sports fans all over the community desecrate my religion by wearing turkey feathers that mock my sacred eagle feathers. The university band mocks our sacred drum with a Hollywood imitation of our music while band members have horns up and down like a tomahawk chop. Well, while the opposing teams yell racial slurs about my people. It hurts to see fans paint their faces in mockery of my sacred ceremonies. Eagle feathers and paint are spiritual items I must earn and take care of in a prayerful way. You don't just buy them. You don't just decide to wear them. You must earn them. My regalia is sacred. I don't wear it down the street to a sporting event. I only wear my regalia in a circle that has been blessed by a medicine man. The Illinois symbol wears the coat of real regalia, but to him it's like a costume, like Halloween. He has no right to wear this regalia at all. Only a very respected Plains chief would wear such a headdress. Chiefs are our religious and spiritual leaders who we honor. We do not use their images as entertainment. I'm here to tell you this hurts. Because of the University of Illinois, I must sit in school and see my friends wear clothing with inaccurate images of my people. It makes me feel sick inside. Chief Illiniwek, as all the kids at school know about my people, they don't understand what a real Indian is. They don't know what a significance of our religion. His image spreads misinformation about my people. It is often all of the teachers know as well. I had a teacher that told me that Chief Illiniwek was more famous and better role model than Jim Thorpe. That was like a slap in the face. You say I should be honored because you admire me, but the responsibility for the welfare of my people do you take? For the welfare of Native children, is it an honor to put my culture and spiritual images on the floor mats, seat cushions, underwear, porta potties, toilet paper, meat packaging, beer mugs, or shot glasses? When you use my religious and cultural items for fun, it's like I don't exist. I'm here to tell you that Native people are still here. We are athletics, businessmen and women, doctors, lawyers, and members of the community. I demand the same respect for my religion and culture that you have for yours. To adore mythical images of us or to ridicule us is the same. If you honor us, if you care about us, let our image go. Remove the Illiniwek from the sake of the children, for the sake of my people, Oos. And if Chief Illiniwek wants to be a clown, he should join the circus.
I am Sid Carew and a very proud mother. I'm here to testify about the very real human cost of using Chief Illiniwek as a symbol. I'm an academic as well, and I agree with all that Brenda Farnell had to say about how it impacts my professional career. However, I'm here today to speak as a mother. To facilitate understanding, perhaps you should think as a mother or a father, or think of a loved one, a Native child, or member of your family that lives here in this community, but somebody you love deeply. My family moved here 4 years ago for me to complete a doctorate. It never occurred to me what it would be like for my son to live in this community that is saturated with inaccurate and stereotypical Native iconography, where a college student dresses up for halftime entertainment as a Native spiritual leader, where most residents have never met a Native person and know nothing about the diversity of languages and cultures of the first peoples of this land. I thought it would be exciting to take Wayne to Big Ten sporting events, but I realized soon that after a glimpse at tailgate parties, where intoxicated individuals paint their faces in dun turkey feathers, that Illinois sporting events are not proper viewing for my son, nor for any children, for that matter. The university's use of Wayne's religious and cultural items for halftime entertainment denies him a sense of pride and respect for his cultural heritage and his religion. If Chief Illiniwek is truly about honoring Native Americans, surely after all these decades, school children, Wayne's peers, would be knowledgeable about and respectful of Native Americans. At the very least, they would recognize one in their midst. But they don't, because Chief Illiniwek freezes Native peoples in the past. Shortly after beginning third grade in Champaign, Wayne was in a fight every day because kids were calling him Gay Boy and Barbie. After patiently explaining to children that Wayne is Shoshone Bannock and the significance of his long hair, then he began hearing woo 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 and other racial slurs. I was forced to remove Wayne from school and home-taught him in the fourth grade. In fifth grade, a fellow student called him a stupid Indian savage. In sixth grade, he has been removed from a teaching team because the teacher cannot understand why it is racist to tell Wayne he is not a good representative of his people or humiliate him with his heritage. The institutionalized use of Native imagery in this community has made it difficult for teachers and students alike to recognize discriminatory and racist practices for what they are. The university has engendered and fostered an environment where children learn Indians are used for halftime entertainment and that it is okay to treat them in a disrespectful manner. It is okay to be a fake Indian on the football field, but not a real Indian in the classroom. No one seems to notice that this symbol teaches non-native children disrespect, that it is okay to use other cultures and religions for fun. But children are not born racist. They learn racism from parents, peers, teachers, and the institutions around them. It is not okay and consistent with the university's mission to create a hostile climate that excludes American Indians both at school and within their communities. A direct correlation between the use of Indians as mascots and symbols and the violence directed against them has been confirmed by research. According to the United States Department of Justice, American Indians are 2.5 times as likely to be victims of violent crime than any other group of Americans. Further, statistics show that the violence against Native Americans is committed by non-natives.
If you have any further statements you wish to submit, please leave them up front. Thank you.
When I received my acceptance from the University
of... Identify yourself, please.
Leanne. My name is Leanne Reitz, and I am a senior. When I received my acceptance from the University of Illinois 4 years ago, it was one of the emotional moments of my life. The University of Illinois was the only university that I had applied to. The letter said, on behalf of the faculty and staff, I congratulate you on your admission to the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. I can quote this with great accuracy as I carry this letter with me to and from school every year. It is a great source of pride. What has followed since that letter has been the best 4 years of my life. That's why I take so much pride in this university and its official symbol, Chief Illiniwek. I believe that the chief is a revered symbol to this university and its students. To take him away would be a grave mistake. The chief gives something to this university that cannot be replaced by anything or anyone else. This thing that the chief gives us is not something easily put into words. It is the thing you feel when you're at an Illini football game and the chief comes out onto the field. It is a feeling of pride, awe, and excitement. Chief Illiniwek is not mocked, but revered. He is treated with the utmost respect. The first time I saw the chief, I was a bit confused. I didn't understand what the low hum was I heard in the stadium. It was quickly explained to me that it was everyone saying in unison, chief. Anyone who has seen the chief at any games knows what I'm talking about. It is not a chant or a cheer of any type. It is a low roar of all the students, faculty, staff, and alumni joining together to pay their respect to Chief Illiniwek. This is one of the things future students would lose by taking away Chief Illiniwek. One day I hope to be able to take my children to a game so they can experience what I have been so fortunate to. Yesterday in the Daily Illini, I was shocked to see an article on the front page titled, English Department Announces Opposition to Chief. For the first time in 4 years, I felt like I didn't matter, that I was just a number at the university. As an English and rhetoric student, I consider myself to be part of the English department. However, I was never consulted or asked my opinion by my department. Thus, I can only conclude that the English department doesn't feel that my opinion on the matter is worth their time. Well, I feel differently. This university could not exist without its students. The purpose of this university is to further the education of its students. So I ask you to take into consideration what I feel as a student. Professor Robert Parker said in the article that there has been some trouble recruiting graduate students and faculty to the university because of Chief Illiniwek and the publicity which surrounds this issue. While I question the validity of this statement, I also think that this questions the department's motivation. If the department's motivation for taking anti-chief stand is a recruiting strategy, then I'm ashamed to be part of this department. The article also stated Chief Lanawick is an inappropriate symbol or mascot. Once again, I would like to reiterate that Chief Lanawick is not a mascot. He is a symbol. If you do not know the difference between these, then you don't know enough about the subject to be speaking. The Chief also helps us to remember our history. Before I came to the university, my knowledge of Native Americans was limited to what I learned in grade school. My knowledge of the Lanawick tribe was even less. I didn't know the last remaining descendants lived in Oklahoma, not Illinois. I only knew the name Illinois came from an Indian tribe. Now, after being at the university for 4 years, I can say my knowledge of Lanawick is much greater. Of course, it can be improved, and an education department at the university surrounding this would be helpful. But how many other symbols can you think of that provokes learning? One argument I will not accept from the anti-chief supporters is that I am racist for supporting the chief. How can admiration, respect, and reverence be racism? I would never support something I thought was racist. The chief is a proud symbol. I will be graduating on May 14th from the university with a degree in English and rhetoric. However, this will not end my career here at the university. Just as I did 4 years ago this past January, I went to my mailbox and saw an envelope from the University of Illinois. Luckily, the first word I read was congratulations. So once again, I will be returning in the fall, this time as a student in the College of Law. I look forward with great anticipation to the first football game, where I can again show my support for and respect for Chief Lanawick. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Your Honor. I'm Frederick Hoxie. I'm holder of one of the Swanland Endowed Chairs here at the University and a professor of history in the History Department. I will dispense with other identification. It's in a CV that I'll give you along with some other resolutions and material. I'm here to, in the time allowed, to make 4 points. And I think what Jay said earlier is very important. This is a time for candor and a time for honesty. Number one, Native Americans find the university's insistence on maintaining its mascot or symbol in the face of their protests humiliating. American Indian students, educators, and community leaders have made their feelings clear. The university has responded with assurances of good intentions. Native Americans have watched white people justify their actions for 5 centuries. The history of those 5 centuries teaches us that good intentions do not excuse hurtful behavior, whether it be in a government boarding school or in a modern athletic football field. The obstinacy of the university in the face of protests has a corrosive effect on the few Native American students who choose to remain here. During each of the last 2 semesters, I have had students come to me in private to request that I not disclose their American Indian heritage to the class. They tell me they do not want to discuss the chief. They do not want to hear lectures from white people about their good intentions, and they do not want to receive the hate mail that ensues when they speak up. Great universities respect all their students. Great universities provide an environment where people can be themselves. This university does not. The context surrounding Chief Alinowick's performance, my second point, has changed dramatically over the last 75 years. 75 years ago, there were 300,000 American Indians in the United States. Segregation was commonplace. White performers appeared in blackface. Congress banned immigration into this country from China, Japan, and most of the countries of Eastern and Southern Europe. The 2000 census, by contrast, will report more than 2 million American Indians living in the United States as citizens, tens of thousands of them in this state of Illinois, paying taxes. Racial discrimination and segregation are now prohibited. Immigrants now come to this country and to this university from every corner of the globe. We no longer celebrate white privilege in public rituals. We no longer speak of Native Americans as a noble people of the past. We have come to see ethnic and racial diversity as the glory of our democracy. Great universities embrace diversity and build healthy multicultural communities. This university does not. Number three, scholars in American Indian Studies have universally condemned Chief Alinowick. Last week, I chaired a meeting of a new organization, the American Indian Studies Consortium, made up of faculty members who teach in this field at all 11 of the Big Ten universities and the University of Chicago. At a meeting of the 25 faculty representatives who appeared at this conference, we passed a resolution unanimously calling for the immediate retirement of Chief Alinowick. A few weeks earlier, a notice on a listserv sponsored by the Michigan State University, reaching more than 800 researchers requesting comment on Chief Alinowick, elicited dozens of responses, all of them negative, all calling for the retirement of the chief, and I have copies of them here to give you. My final point. The Board of Trustees' response to the North Central Association report released earlier this year demonstrates a lack of commitment to equity and diversity. The North Central Association has asked the university to resolve this issue. The North Central Association has challenged the Board of Trustees to act on its stated principles. Further indecision and resistance to change will only continue the negative effects of this controversy. Student alienation, faculty anger, and minority staff and student disgust will surely grow. Efforts to retire the chief will continue. Someday those efforts will be successful. Where will the Board of Trustees be on that day? Great universities live up to their principles. Great universities act with confidence and courage rather than fear. This university so far has not.
Hi, Judge Garippo, members of the board. I'm a graduate student. My name is Dave Freed. I've been at this university. This is my third year here. I finished my undergrad here. I came here because this is a great university. It's a great university which excels at things like engineering, farming, trade, and business. Those are the exact same sorts of things that the Alinawak Indians excelled in. They were the premier city builders, traders and farmers in North America many, many centuries ago in the pre-colonial era. Now, they're not living here in Illinois anymore, and sadly there was a great war that wiped most of them out, but I think it's a great thing that this university chooses to associate itself with those people because they stand for many of the ideals, or they had many of the qualities that we seek to have today as students and alumni of the University of Illinois. Now, I don't have anything prepared because I think everything that could be said on this issue has been said today. There's been a lot of very emotional debate on either side. But one thing I want to say is that I do support the chief, but I do believe that 80 years is a long time to have something, a cultural icon, and not change it. Now, I want to say a few things that may upset both sides. I don't know. But my personal opinion is that if education is an issue, if stereotyping is an issue, if the idea that the only exposure that students in the Champaign area, or in Illinois for that matter, get to Native Americans and Native American cultures through Chief Alinawak, then we have a problem that goes far deeper than the chief. I think that if you have people war whooping and painting their faces and teasing Native American students, then that's disrespect that goes far deeper than the chief. And it's not something that getting rid of the chief is going to help, because if that's their only exposure to Native American culture, then where are they going to get it? Spaghetti Westerns on A&E? I mean, come on. What needs to be done is we need to look at what are we doing? What are we putting out there on the field? Is this something that we can be proud of? Is this something that a Native American can look at and not see a mockery of his people? Or can we do something, because you have a captive audience at halftime, can we do something that celebrates the heritage of the state, celebrates the Illini people, and at the same time is accurate in its portrayal of Native Americans, is not inappropriate in that respect? I think in refusing to compromise, and I'm sorry, members of the board, you've dropped the ball. In not talking with Native Americans, not listening to their complaints, and trying to work out some form of compromise, and I know everyone hates compromises because no one gets what they want, you've dropped the ball. I think there really, really, really needs to be some communication between the sides, maybe presentation of an authentic fancy dance instead of what we have now. I would love that. I'm a member of the band. I would love to play something more accurate. I would love to go out there and have a dance is presented that actually displays American culture. I would love if the people who had that, who portrayed that, or a person who portrayed that, did what they used to do, which is go around to the elementary schools and teach kids who evidently aren't getting it in their curriculum about Native American culture. But the problem is, what we have now is two sides fighting One wants the easy answer, and one wants the easy answer. Get rid of the chief, keep the chief the way it is. What I'm saying is that as educated people, and as sensible people, as people who are dedicated to a multicultural society where everyone can get along, don't we have an obligation to do something? Thank you.
Well, you were correct. Your comments weren't very warmly received by either side. So, but that might show the reasonableness of it. Okay, Anna Gottlieb.
My name is Alma Gottlieb.
Alma, I'm sorry.
I've taught in the Department of Anthropology here at the U of I for 17 years. As a cultural anthropologist who specializes in what is sometimes called symbolic anthropology, my job is to study cultural symbolism. And so I have been keenly interested in and increasingly perturbed by the continued use of Chief Illiniwek as an icon for our university and the growing controversy surrounding that potent image. What makes a good symbol? According to the late Victor Turner, one of the great analysts of symbolic thinking of the 20th century, a successful symbol is what he called multivocal, by which he meant that it speaks in different but richly evocative and satisfying ways to multiple constituencies. It speaks to multiple ideas and ideologies, and it speaks to events that are either historically verifiable or that are seen as existing in mythical time outside of historically verifiable time. The great enduring symbols of human history have had just these properties. For example, the cross speaks effectively to multiple groups of Christians all over the world, precisely because it visually summarizes a broad range of ideas that are accepted widely as ideologically relevant, spiritually true, and at least in part historically accurate to members of Christian communities around the world. By contrast, symbols fail when they do not meet any or even all of these criteria, and they divide people rather than unite them. The Confederate flag and the swastika both come to mind. It is the same with the chief. Like other failed symbols, our school's mascot is actively turning off more and more of its observers, not only in our school community, but increasingly beyond our campus and beyond Illinois. Like other failed symbols, the chief speaks to a narrowly restricted ideology, the vision of native peoples as a source of entertainment to sports fans. And like other failed symbols, the chief speaks to a historically and ethnographically inaccurate portrait of the wrong group of native peoples set in the wrong place and in the wrong time. Given this triple failure, my own responsibilities as an educator are sorely becoming challenged. When I instruct my students in the properties of symbolism and am asked to put Chief Illiniwek in this conceptual hierarchy, I am obliged to classify it as a failed symbol along with others such as the two I have mentioned. But I love my university, and it pains me to have to subject its primary icon to such a bitter analysis. Moreover, as an anthropologist whose prime mission, as I see it, is to teach responsible understanding of diverse cultural practices across time and space, I find it increasingly difficult to defend my own employment at a university whose chief symbol presents an image of one cultural group that is ethnographically and historically inaccurate, psychologically offensive, and politically divisive. In short, my job in the classroom is being tested by the growing controversy generated by the chief. As an educator, I believe my colleagues and I have a moral responsibility to share our scholarly expertise when such expertise is called on. I am honored to have this opportunity as a cultural anthropologist to speak to this troubling issue. You, our trustees, are charged with the sacred trust of providing not only financial but also moral leadership in selecting a responsible symbol for our times. I urge you to support the retiring of the chief as a failed symbol that is an inappropriate, inaccurate, and offensive representation of our diverse university community, and to support the search for a new symbol that can far more effectively unite us with another visual image that can convey true pride in our complex history, our changing aspirations, and our multiple identities. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Bob Morgan. I'm a sophomore at the University of Illinois. I'm a member of the Illinois Student Government Assembly, and I'm president of the Hillel Student Board, which is the Jewish foundation on campus. I'm speaking today on behalf of myself. The question I wish to raise to you today is, who are we to judge? Who am I, or who are you, to decide what is or isn't offensive to a tribe of Native Americans? We have a symbol of a Native American representing the University of Illinois. More importantly, we have a man dressed in a uniform, dancing around, hopping and prancing around while thousands around him chant the chief, who represents Native Americans. I've heard people say over and over again that Chief Illiniwek is a symbol of pride. The University of Illinois, the United States, have nothing to be proud of regarding our treatment and respect towards Native Americans in the past. Since Europeans invaded North America and pushed Native Americans off their land, the Native American population has dropped from 12 million to 2 million. I'm sure all of you adults here today remember that both textbooks and movies were the only experience that most adults grew up with. All that you knew about Indians was that they were the bad guys and scalped the poor white man. In reality, the Native Americans were abused, mistreated, and killed by the white man and delegated to live on reservations. I also heard that the Chief Illiniwek is an honor to the Illini tribe, and that it maintains the memory and good name of the tribe. However, if so many Native Americans seem to be offended and enraged by it, how much honor could there really be? People have told me it's not harming anyone, so why change the symbol of the chief? I say that it is harming people. It's harming the understanding and appreciation of the people of this nation have towards Native Americans. Cultural education is a top priority for me. Teachers in elementary schools in Chicago ask their students what they know about American Indians, and their students giggle and dance around the room chanting, "Chief!" The implication of having a Native American as a school symbol of this public university is far-reaching and must be considered. We are responsible for those implications. So what can be done? Some history classes about Native Americans would be a start at the University of Illinois. We need to ask for the forgiveness and advice of the remaining Native Americans in this country. Then, we need to follow this advice. I'm Jewish, and if the New York Yankees suddenly decide to change their team name to the New York Rabbis, who danced around the Hora to the song Hava Nagila, I'd be offended. And Jews collectively would speak up and say they too were offended. And the mascot and the symbol would be changed. So why don't we give Native Americans the same respect? I think it's about time that we did. The choice is simple. The university can upset people by retiring the chief, or they can offend Native Americans to save a symbol. With all of my heart, I say to you, it is time to remove the chief as a symbol of this great university. Thank you.
My name is Rebecca Crummy, and I am an alumna of this university and currently the program director at the University of Illinois YMCA. I am here today to share with you the University YMCA's 1991 decision to take a stand against Chief Illiniwek. Some points of the Y's history are important to note. One, at the beginning part of this century, we supported the education from elementary school through a degree from the University of Illinois and medical school at Northwestern University of Carlos Montezuma, whose real name as a Yavapai Apache was Wasaja. Early publications and facilities reflect an interest in and fascination with Native American culture, including the Wise Indian, Y apostrophe S, Indian, the newsletter from 1920 to 1989, and the Wigwam Room, renamed the Kaiser Room in 1952 after a major donor and uncle of the first Chief Illiniwek, Lester Lutwiler, whose life-size portrait, dressed as the chief, hung in the YMCA for 40 years. However, in response to a request from the University YWCA and the belief that Chief Illiniwek, whatever the original intent, functions as a symbol harmful to Native Americans in their quest for justice and equality, the YMCA Board of Governors agreed to address their own history and involvement with Chief Illiniwek. Several persons reported the pain and embarrassment of finding the need to change long-held positions. Points of concern to the board were very similar to the concerns expressed in this dialogue: the WISE mission, to be an open forum, its financial support, image, tradition, and doing the right thing. It was determined that to take no stand was actually to condone or support acts seen by some as racist, or at least as misrepresentation of a group of people. It seems that the representation by the chief does not encourage people who have witnessed the dance to learn more about Native Americans or help them gain justice. Rather, it is seen mainly as a form of entertainment. After extensive and sensitive discussion, the board acted. The result was the following resolution adopted by the University YMCA Board of Governors, January 31, 1991. Mindful of this association's past utilization of Native American symbolism, of recent YMCA programming concerning Native American issues, and of grievous disadvantages experienced by Native Americans residing in the United States of America, supportive of the purposes of the Coalition for a New Tradition, of which the University YMCA was a member, and believing that Chief Illiniwek as a symbol associated with University of Illinois athletic teams, though not intended to be disrespectful, is an inappropriate representation of Native American people and culture. The Board of Governors also opposes the use of Indian head logos, as well as the practice of designating a person to wear the Chief Illiniwek costume, perform the dance, and otherwise perpetuate the tradition. The Board of Governors commits the YMCA resources to continue and strengthen programming and to provide information and open discussions on issues affecting Native Americans and extend services to the Native American community. The portrait of Lester Lutwiler opposing as Chief Illiniwek has been removed from the Kaiser rooms of the University YMCA, has been gone for 10 years. Relations with the Lutwiler extended family remained positive, and they remained major donors until their deaths in the late 1990s. The University YMCA did lose some contributors, but the financial health of the institution has thrived in the last 10 years, and just within the last 6 months, we received word of a gift worth $500,000 from a 1937 alumnus. The University YMCA has not merely made this resolution and let it drop. Rather, it has continued to work for the elimination of this inappropriate symbol and for increased awareness of real Native Americans. Thank you.
Your Honor, ladies and gentlemen of the Board of Trustees, I know you've had a long day, and I thank you for your appearance here today. My name is Adam Chaddock. I'm a second-year law student here at the University of Illinois, and I'm a 1998 graduate of the History Department here. I am also currently an elected assembly member of the ISG student government. However, I speak for only myself. I am here today to support the continued use of Chief Illiniwek by the University of Illinois. In my brief time here today, I would like to address three main points. However, two of them have been beat to death by both sides of the debate. First, Chief Illiniwek is not a mascot. Rather, the chief is the symbol of a great university. A mascot runs around the playing field, dancing with the cheerleaders, fighting with opposing mascots, leading the crowd in cheers, and throwing souvenirs to the crowd. The actions of the chief are much more dignified than those antics. The chief puts on a respectful and ceremonious performance that brings pride to our great university. Make no mistake about it, the chief is a proud symbol, not a foolish mascot. Second, the use of Chief Illiniwek is a historical tie to the state of Illinois. In a recent article about this subject, an author stated that a college that adopts the name of a tribe indigenous to its area is not deriding or insulting that tribe. It is showing respect and admiration, not to mention a link to the area's history. If we are not to use the names and words of Native Americans, we will have to rename the cities of Peoria, Milwaukee, rename the Mississippi River, rename the state of Illinois. The list goes on and on. Are we to abolish all signs of Native Americans from the culture of the United States? Is the only place that we are to hear of Native Americans in our history books? I think not. Chief Illiniwek is a constant and respectful reminder and tribute to the history and tradition of the previous inhabitants of this state. I believe the Board of Trustees should make their decision not on threats, not on financial considerations, but what they think is right. Now, having said this, I hesitate to make my third point. Mr. Haney earlier in his comments said that he and his supporters would continue to fight on until the chief has left this university. Well, I am here to tell you, can my clock stop? I'm here to tell you that those of us that support Chief Illiniwek will be here supporting the chief for as long to come as that. Banning the chief will not end the division. When Ms. Teeters and Mr. Haney pack up their sound gear out there and go home to their respective places throughout the country, what do we have left here at the university? We have this silent majority.
We've gone all day long, and the mood of the dialogue has been done in a fairly decorous manner. Let's not, at this stage of the proceedings, let it deteriorate. Each speaker has a right to state that speaker's opinion, and interruptions will only delay us and detract from the civility of this presentation.
Thank you, Your Honor. So what we have left when these people return to their homes throughout the country is the silent but powerful majority of students and alumni that support Chief Illiniwek. The silent majority is complacent and silent because they believe that the Board of Trustees will never abandon the chief in his time of need. However, the vocal and evidently sensitive minority touting political correctness as their banner issue has come out to oppose the chief. I decided to come out today and show you, the Board of Trustees, that there is an overwhelming amount of support for the chief throughout the student body and alumni. If the board ever was to retire the chief as the symbol of this university, the protests, boycotts, and picketing that would befall this university would make the current anti-chief movement look very small indeed. If this university bows to the protests of this small group of protesters or any other group of supposedly offended protesters, I will be the first of thousands upon thousands of alumni and students to give up my season football tickets, to give up my season basketball tickets, to close my checkbook to this university and pick up a picket sign to show the Board of Trustees how I feel about the chief and how I support the chief. Ladies and gentlemen of the board, I would not stand alone. In conclusion, I'm here to ask you today to do the right thing and support Chief Illiniwek. Thank you for your time.
After this speaker, there'll be a 15-minute recess.
Good afternoon. My name is Paul Hickson. I come before you today in a number of capacities. I'm an alum, as well as a current staff member who's worked here for more than 30 years. Other members of my immediate family are also proud alums of this great university. I'm also a loyal, longtime season ticket holder for major U of I athletic events. And one last major connection I'd like to establish for me is that I'm a longtime member of McKinley Presbyterian Church, which is the first campus-based church on a public university campus. It's located just a few blocks from here. And one of McKinley's major focuses is on serving the needs of students, faculty, and staff of this particular campus. Now, I mention all these things so that you will see that I have lots of very strong ties to this institution. And in many cases, I'm very proud of this great university. However, regretfully, there's one area where I cannot say that that is true, and that's the continued use of Chief Illiniwek as a symbol of this campus. At a personal level, I am deeply embarrassed and offended by the misuse of Native American customs and spiritual practices, all carried out in the name of maintaining a 74-year-old halftime skit and promoting school spirit. As a non-Native person, I have had the true privilege of visiting and working in a number of indigenous communities over the past 33 years, in areas stretching from rural Alaska to southern Mexico. And out of that experience, I've developed a profound respect for various Native cultures and religions and all that they have the potential to teach each of us about the human condition. As a non-Native person, I would like to speak about the matter of how one really honors the spiritual customs of another culture. This fall, I mentioned that I'm a Presbyterian. This fall, I was very proud of my denomination when they passed a resolution at their national 211th General Assembly taking a strong stand on this issue. The The resolution called in part for universities and colleges that use Native American imagery or symbols to develop a process to choose a new name, logo, or mascot. The reason was simple empathy. Quote, the abuse of Christian symbols such as a cross and chalice for entertainment or profit would be insulting, insensitive, and an affront to Christian spirituality. It's therefore unacceptable. Similarly, the abuse of Native American symbols, such as a headdress, feathers, or sacred pipe, for entertainment or profit would be insulting, insensitive, and an affront to Native American spirituality. It's therefore equally unacceptable. This really is a case where it's truly that simple, folks. Which one of you would like to have your entire cultural heritage supposedly summed up in a halftime ceremony? Particularly if you knew that your people had been the victims of past oppression in this very same area. Regardless of the stated good intentions by the proponents for the chief, if the people who are supposed to be honored by this symbol are instead outraged and offended by the practice, then face it, the U of I is not honoring, we are offending. Finally, I'm proud to announce that last night, at the regularly scheduled meeting of this McKinley Church's session, the ruling elders of that congregation unanimously passed a resolution calling on the Board of Trustees and the administration of this campus to retire the chief as a symbol for this campus. It's time for the chief to go. Now.
We'll adjourn for 15 minutes.